Welcome to Six Again, your go-to rugby league podcast with hosts Adam Hoy and Jared Newton. Let's kick off.
Hello and welcome into the round seven preview on the Six Again podcast. Not a whole lot has gone on since the last recording, considering it was only 24 hours ago. Yeah, last night.
So I don't know about that. Us Fox Sports, the whole world's blown up according to them.
Yeah, anyway, we'll get into some signing that happened between yesterday and today, and then we're just going to jump straight into the previews of all eight games. Sorry, our write-up of all eight games, our tips, our bets for each match, and then there's a new segment later in the show where a favourite of the show is here to bestow his wisdom upon us and wing us buckets of cash.
Favourite, though?
Third wheel.
Is that what we're saying?
It's more like a tripod third wheel. Like, we still rely on him quite a lot, so.
Yeah, no, he's a good bloke and all, but favourite?
Favourite ranger. There we go.
that just narrowed it down real quick.
So, Tristan Saylor has been signed by South Magpies.
Yeah. He's done something wrong, hasn't he? He's something, isn't he?
He was, but was not proven guilty of anything, so.
Yeah, right. Okay, so that's a Broncos affiliate, South Logan.
They're coming last with three losses and a draw, I believe. So there you go.
Not a bad signing. We'll go with it. Good on.
Has any other signings happened? Oh, that's right. Dolphins signed Jack Bostock or Bostock from St. George Illawarra. He's an SG Ball young gun. He's been signed a three-year deal starting 2023. The deal has been termed lucrative, and he will be paid more than most unproven talent typically gets. No actual dollars outlaid there, but this Dolphins team looking like it's going to be having a high school backline. Yes. We'll see. And yeah. We've already covered the Newcastle signing with Milford signing on for the night. So let's get into round one of the weekend.
No. Okay. So last night we spent the time on the situation. My point of view on it, official signed a 5-year contract. Supposedly it's without the clauses this time. Bit of background. Yeah, clauses every single year to pull out of this contract by, I think
it was like... Wasn't it just the last 2 years?
Yeah, sorry, it's the last 2 years. And now, supposedly, these clauses have been pulled out of the contract. I don't know. Like, last time they announced the signing until 2024, and then the clauses came out 6 months later. So, no one actually knows what's in the contract unless you're the people who signed it. So, we'll just wait and see on that one. Supposedly signed between $1 million, 1.2 per year over a 5-year contract. So I'm happy with it. I got it wrong at the start of the year when Kieran put down if Ponga was going to leave. I got that wrong. I said he was going to pull the pin. I was expecting it to, but
I think I got that one wrong too.
Yeah. So there's been a lot of
Ponga to take up player option. So technically, we're all incorrect, aren't we?
Yeah, I said no.
Well, that means he stayed, didn't it?
No, if you take up player option, means he stayed. So I said he'd leave.
All right, awesome. So Kieran and I won that one as well. So I'm 3-for-3. I'm loving this.
Yeah. So anyone who hasn't turned on any sort of social media in the past couple of days wouldn't have seen this, but there is that many stories. Fox League have been absolutely frothing. There's been, what do you reckon, about 12 different narratives how this went down?
I didn't count because I didn't care. It's a player and a contract. There are so many other worthwhile stories to talk about.
That's exactly right. And Fox League with this frothing.
It's the easiest story with the biggest name.
And everyone's pointing fingers, you know, it's Ponga, it's Newcastle club doing wrong. It was this, that, and the other, you know. Yeah. I'm pretty sure dad got dragged up to certain throughout the whole thing. The worst part of whole negotiation was not Ponga, was not his dad, was not Newcastle, was Fox League and Fox Sports, who were reporting his following, because they made it 10 times. They turned mountain into molehill, whatever molehill into mountain, the hell it is. It was just nothing, and they built up so much out of it. He eventually signed with them. And the worst part for me was released about an hour ago, 2 hours ago, where James Hooper came out with Andre Ponga cannot talk about integrity and honour, where he's actually showing private text messages. So he's obviously got them off somebody, because not many people read my text messages, get screenshots of my text messages. So I don't know how he got them, but if you're going to lead an article with integrity and honour with people's private conversations put in the public forum, you get your head back in. That's as far as I'm concerned. Pull your head in. It's just crap. For me, it was badly reported the whole time. There was no class in how they're doing it. There was no going, you know what, let's let them sort it out without us jumping aboard. It was a horrible situation for everyone involved. Horrible.
Yes.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm genuinely mad about how they handled this.
And in the grand scheme of things, I'm not going to say it's a minimal issue, but there's been like Tom Lalo deal going a few years back, Cherry Evans deal going a few years back. And there's so much misconception about big deals like this based on things that the media have said. And like Cherry Evans still gets booed in Queensland by Queensland fans about a backflip that never actually occurred.
Yeah.
And all that sort of stuff. And they actually went back and looked at the timeline of things and the fact he'd signed for Manly before he signed for Titans and then went back and signed with Manly. There's so much information that's not out there. It's just the stuff that is going to make the media look like they've done something and they haven't. But the point of this is Ponga has signed on to the end of 2027. There are no player all the clauses, like Jared said, from the previous contract are no longer there. There may be new stuff. We don't know yet. But he's in rugby league till 2027 in some capacity at over $1 million a season, which is still unders for a player like Ponga.
The thing media releases so much and they don't actually know the full risk. So no one actually knows. And the thing is, they could be holding back so much relevant information that's not fitting their storyline of their creation. Yeah. Like they could just be picking facts up randomly and going, oh, that suits what I want to say kind of thing. It's not okay. Crazy. It really isn't.
I can't wait for The Athletic to get to Australia. Anyway. Let's have a break there, and we're going to come straight back with first game of the weekend, Cronulla Sharks versus Manly Seagulls. So, second week in a row, Cronulla are playing a team that has been in and around the top of the table for the last season-ish in Manly. And for the second week in a row, what should be a blockbuster has cruelly been kind of snatched out from beneath us with regards to COVID cases again, injuries from last week. And while it should still be a good match, it's not going to be on the same level as it could be. Similar to last week, we mentioned the previous show, the players of both the Storm and Sharks were missing. Sharks are stronger this time around. However, Manly's the side that is still missing a few of their key players. And loyalty selections again from Hasler, for myself personally, leave something to be desired. I think this is all going to be leaning towards a Sharks victory, but let's go into the team list and have a bit of a deeper look into it. So for the Sharks, a couple of changes from last week. There is no Dale Finucane, who's out after his head knock against Melbourne. So Cam McInnes will start at lock. He's obviously played there before. Brighton Okorah is back in after missing last week. So he starts in the second row. Aiden Tolman gets a start up front as Braden Hamanuele is out injured with that ruptured pectoral. So onto the bench comes Royce Hunt, who was the 18th man last week. Outside of that, it's the same squad. Sorry, and Sione Katoa's back in. So some pretty big ins for the Sharks. Katoa, Nakora, back with Finucane missing out and Hamanualei missing out. For the Seagulls, they've lost Josh Aloi, who's kind of been one of the key reasons, really, the Seagulls have come back into form the last few weeks. There's a big hole missing when he wasn't there, and he's taken a pretty decent shot to his AC joint last week, so he's out from 2 to 4 weeks moving forward. You also have Sean Kepi not in the side from last week, so coming to a head knock. Put on top of that, Martin Taupau already out with COVID. Obviously, Tom Trbojevic not back yet. Josh Schuster not back yet. There's some holes in the Manly team. Morgan Harper is back and has been selected.
Yeah. You've got a very rookie forward pack up against one of the most experienced forward packs in the comp. Jesus.
I know. So it means Taniela Paseka and Toff Sipley are the starting prop for Manly. I like Paseka. Paseka should be the starting prop for me with Aloi, but that's different. And then you've got in the back line, Brad Parker and Morgan Harper are back as starting centres with Garrick still at fullback covering Tom Trbojevic. And then onto the bench comes Ethan Bullimore and Kurt DeLewis for his first game of the season.
You guys have losing about 300 kilos on your back line, on your bench, because you've got Dylan Walker, Carl Lawton, utilities, Carl Lawton can play in the second row and lock possibly. Ethan Bullimore's got a bit of size on him, but Kurt DeLewis, he's a front row and he's been playing very well, but he's not a big front rower.
He's like Royce Hunt. They're both nuggets.
And then you've gone up against Brandon Trindle, small, but Jack Williams, Royce Hunt, and Andrew Fifita. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I'm picking Sharks just because you just don't have the forward depth to cover anything, despite what Cherry's been doing the last couple of weeks.
Oh, and I'm looking at this back line going, why drop Cooler? Every time the games that he's played, he's looked fine. He's looked better than fine. He actually creates stuff, he creates space. I hate this loyalty issue. Parker and Harper are going to get ripped to shreds by Ramin and Talakai.
Are you going Sharks?
Yeah, 100%. Ronaldo Mulitalo has been brilliant this season. He leads the league in line breaks with 10, I believe, in 5 games that he's played. Sione Katoa has 7 of his own. So you're looking at that back line, and in my personal opinion, Matt Moylan's the weak link, and he's been playing his role to perfection so far this season. He's creating space and he's not having to do too much. And the other four of that, Kennedy, Katoa, Ramy, and Talakai, Mulitalo, Hines, they've all started the season brilliantly. And we said last episode, Fitzgibbon's our coach of the exceeding expectations team from the first quarter of the season. And that's for this reason exactly.
See, another thing about it is, you look at this Sharks team, and what you need in every team is an out-and-out, pure athlete. Raw as you like, but a pure athlete. You guys don't have that.
Olakatu, it'd be the
closest. No, I'm looking at the back line. I'm looking at the back line right now. Saab's quick, but he's awkward as all hell. If he's not running really fast, everything he does just looks awkward. Tua Pilato is all right, but when you come up against someone like Ronaldo Mulitalo and Sione Katoa in the wings, they're big, strong, fast wingers who you just need to put your body in front, and they're going to hurt you, but you just need to put your body in front and try to stop them. Yeah. Where they can jump, they can run, they're just athletes, and you've got nothing to compare that to.
Manly,
that's what I'm very worried about.
Manly is one of the teams in a grand final window. They've probably got a year left. In all honesty, with Foran going, Cherry Evans maybe 2. You need people in there that can score and have X factor and can create for themselves. And if you're worried about their development and not being able to be up to the task, I'm sorry, but right now, if your team's in a premiership window, that doesn't matter. You get Cooler in there, you get him up against the tough matchups. He might miss 3 tackles against Ramy and be ran into the dirt, but I'd rather that happen in round 7 than happened in the semi-finals where he's coming in for the first time in that sort of game or whatever.
And as I said the other night on the group chat, this bloke doesn't keep getting the run. Someone's going to start sniffing around sooner rather than later. It's just how NRL works.
I've already lost B now, the prop.
Yeah. Contracts literally mean nothing. And if Wayne Bennett called him up, I'm going to put extra 200 grand on top of your current contract and you get a starting centre position last year.
Mm-hmm.
Next year, sorry. Gone. Straight away. It's gone. Yeah. It's just no question. And what the only way Hasler can keep him around, and look, I don't know the kid, but the only way for me Hasler keeping him around is give him a run. And most of the time, and Wall reacted pretty heavily on this one. He said, you know, when are these young fellas going to bide their time? There's no biding time anymore. Like, well, you know, there's the Bennett argument. Plus, on the other hand, when you've got people like Garrick, Harper and Parker ahead of you where you can do a better job, or they're not doing the best job in the world, they're not doing everything they can, that's not waiting behind. That's bad coaching. And
unfortunately, I think this is
where cool is at. And I honestly think if there's a sneaky phone call made by anyone, go on.
What's happening to him so far this season? It's like a yo-yo effect. You're in the top squad, you're in our reserves. You're in the top squad, you're in our reserves. That's worse for his development than just saying you're in the reserves this season. If he's in the reserves all year, he gets consistency, he can keep working on his game, yada, yada. He doesn't have to worry about getting called up each week. It's either that, you're in the full squad all season. Sweet. You don't have to worry about getting dropped. You can get in that rhythm. All this yo-yoing bullshit is the worst thing for a young player's development. They need consistency. They need a position to play.
And he's
better than the two that are there. The only thing he doesn't have is experience. That's the only thing. He's a better passer. He's a better runner. Okay, I'll give you that. He doesn't read the game as well defensively enough yet, but he's an athlete that he can make up for his mistakes more often than not. And
I might send him an Instagram video.
I don't get it.
I just might make an Instagram, send a message at him and be like, hey, I'm a representative of Newcastle. Any chance you can come over? Okay, next game. So I'm just going to say
the only other thing, Cherry Evans. What's going to happen in this game? Cronulla are going to cruise. They should win it easily. And everyone's going to see this game since it's a Thursday night. And they'll say Cherry Evans sucks because Manly got belted. And they wouldn't have watched the previous few games. He's going to have to play even better than he has been to even keep Manly within the game here. Him versus Hines is going to be awesome to watch with regards to how they set their teams up. They're completely different athletically, obviously. But you've got Hines, who we've been impressed by with his kicking game against one of the best kickers of the last decade, along with Reynolds and the last few years, Cleary as well. So this is going to be brilliant. But like that matchup would be brilliant, but Sharks should get this pretty cruise. I think the odds have Manly 275 and Cronulla at $1.70 something. Yeah. Last I checked, it might have shifted since this afternoon. All right.
Next game. So we can't spend too much time on this and come up with a decent prediction because there's a current story about the Bulldogs. A decent amount of them went out for dinner the other night and a few of them come back with a few positive rap tests, which automatically rules them out. So we don't know what the Bulldogs team be like, but from what we can see, a lot of these players, this is close to, if not their strongest squad. They have updated the thing I'm looking at right now. They've got Jaden Ockelbore in the wing with Jacob Carraz, an ex-Newcastle player, in the centres. Not bad player, but yeah. So this is a revolving situation where a lot of things could change on a moment because if people exhibiting signs to spawning positive, people who aren't exhibiting signs still have a decent chance of exhibiting signs tomorrow morning or Friday morning when the game is actually on. So keep an eye on the Bulldogs team. It's going to keep changing and revolving. And what it also, revolving with the players that are coming in and out. What it also does is keep an eye on the New South Wales Cup squad, because there's a slight chance they might not be able to field a team for that either.
Corey Allen's out. And he has a chance. He would have a chance to play.
For the Bulldogs, for the Broncos.
The good news story of the weekend.
Yeah, Tessie New has done his knee in. So T. Marie Martin. So if you don't remember this one,
his hamstring.
Leg injury. Whatever. 3 years ago, Tessie New. We're not talking about Tessie. Like, fuck off. T. Marie Martin a couple of years ago got a brain injury, and he had to retire from football. And then he went out, got all his medical stuff done, came back through the Queensland Cup, got picked up by the Broncos. And if you told me at the start of the year that his debut for Broncos will be at fullback, I just would have went, Kevin Walters, how dare you, for one. And two, I would have went, where's Jermaine Asako? But he is the lowdown. Tessie New comes into fullback. I don't agree with that at all. This bloke's coming from severe injury. He could be fit as all hell, but he's not game ready. And he's not, you know, the fittest bloke on the field needs to be fullback. And he's coming
against a competent NRL team anyway.
Yeah. He's coming up against probably the biggest kicker in the NRL, Matt Burton. And this is, as Adam said, this is a good news story. It could potentially turn into a horror story for Team Marie Martin.
I don't think so. I regardless of what happens this weekend.
Oh, yeah. I just don't want him to come back and play bad. Sorry.
Look at the other 34 players on this field. Most of them have made a living playing bad for the last 2 years. So I'm not going to feel bad for
It really annoys me that he put him in a position he's never played in an NRL level before. And he's brought him in. And it's, like I said, it's not against the top team, but it's a must-win game. And the poor bastard, I love that he's back, but put him on the bench or just give him any, ease him into it, in other words. Don't just throw him in the middle of fullback. Surely, with the Broncos development system, they have better fullbacks than Tessie New and T. Marie Martin. Yeah. Surely, there is better fullbacks in that system. I don't like him at fullback either, but I think right now it's better than T. Marie Martin.
Herbie Farnway, Katoni Staggs.
I put out Reynolds there before Martin.
Payne Haas.
For the Bulldogs, Payne Haas returns from a one-game ban. Keenan Palacia moves to the bench. Corey Pax is the new hooker. Jake Turpin nursed a shoulder injury. Flegger gets some spot.
He was dropped. It wasn't a shoulder injury.
Whatever. And Ryan James drops out for Thomas Flegler. So we can only really talk about the Broncos in this game because we don't know what's going to happen with the Bulldogs. But you know what? I'm back in. I'll go Broncos.
Yeah, I didn't think I'd say that this year.
Yeah.
Broncos are $18 to win the wooden spoon. I think that's pretty good value. Wall said what last week that he got the Bulldogs at $15. I was like, whoa. Should have jumped on that.
I just think the whole game plan of Broncos is literally just give the ball to Katoni Staggs. That's the only thing they have to do. No one else is going to do anything. Just give the ball to Staggs.
How has Branko Lee and not cracked this squad yet when he was playing for Melbourne last year?
In saying that, he didn't get a crack at Melbourne last year. He didn't actually travel with the team. Played for him 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Staggs and Tom's Farnsworth. Staggs and Farnsworth are probably the only, other than Reynolds and probably Haas, only two set players in the team. Like, centres where they're actually quite strong attacking, especially the way Farnsworth has been playing this year. So I'm not overly mad about it. And, yeah, I personally would have Farnsworth at fullback and Branko Lee in centres. That makes, for me, that's a stronger option every day of the week. Yeah, for me,
I'm not even going to comment on this one, I don't think. There's not much really to talk about, get excited about, apart from Payne Haas being back. I hope Kyle Flanagan keeps the role that he's been on. He should have a bit more space and time to influence this game, coming up against an inconsistent defensive outfit in the Broncos. I guess I'm excited to see what some of these players are and what they can do, considering I haven't seen them before. Like Billy,
it will be Starrickis, cool seeing the Bulldogs players come in
and all that, but it's not on my it's not on my high list of watching. This weekend's not gonna be one of the priority games. I'm going to the Broncos because they're at home and they don't have heaps of COVID stuff.
All right.
How's that for analysis?
And then we're going with the Queensland Derby this weekend, Cowboys versus Gold Coast. Griffin Nemhe returns from concussion. Jordan McLean starts with Rubikov and Pakota back to the bench. And Connolly Lemelu dropping back. Hammersale Tubau-Fidow is listed among the reserves. He's the sort of player that I don't think they're going to bring in late. I think if they're going to play him, they're going to play him. They're going to name him. And Justin Holbrook named the same 17 from last week. But with Jaden Campbell as listed among the reserves, I don't think he's going to come in late. This game isn't really interesting me at all either. I'm not the biggest fan of this one either.
No, I think I'm on the opposite. I think this is going to be one of the low-key games of the weekend. You think of what the Cowboys did to the Broncos, the last Queensland derby they played this season, and we talked about the Titans last episode about how they've been able to score with the best teams in the comp this year. It's the defense that's been the issue, and we've seen what's happened with the Cowboys' defense the last few weeks, especially in and around the ruck, and they tightened it up the second half against Canberra, but the first half was like a sieve for the first, say, quarter of the game. I agree that Fidow probably won't come back in, and Drinkwater's been more than capable of filling in. Asako has been playing better each week as well for the Titans. An unsung player that I almost put above Will Smith for the Titans has been Aaron Clark. I thought he's actually had a pretty solid
I didn't rate him at the start of the year, but he's done well.
Yeah, he's been playing real well. He's actually been more creative than we've seen in the past, especially in the offensive end, like in the red zone. Cohen Hess needs a big game for the Cowboys. He's been quiet and as well as been disrupted with injury. I like the fact that Lukey and Nanai are now starting together again. Lukey was coming off the bench the first few rounds, whether it was fitness or something that he needed to work on at training, we're not sure. Griffin Niami or Griffin Neem, don't know how to pronounce it. I'm sorry. Another good young redhead forward for the Cowboys there. Just trying to think. Yeah, Campbell and Thompson on the bench for the Titans. I don't see them coming in either. I'm going to go Cowboys because they're at home, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's pretty high scoring. Been a bit quiet the last 2 weeks after starting the season pretty hot.
You know, be loving all this Ponga talk about the $1 million, whether he's worth $1 million, be David Fifita. You'd be loving all this criticism directed at Ponga about him being a $1 million player because he's not coughing it.
Come on, criticism.
Okay, next game. You got Tigers
criticism
versus
or jealousy.
Tigers versus Rabbits. Luke Brooks sat in five position. It's a problem that I wasn't expecting. He named the same 17 and for the Rabbits, David Wally's been recalled to the bench while Isaiah Task going back to reserves debutated last week. Hammer Selle has been named to start a prop with Tom Burgess on the bench. Look, I'm going South Sydney. yes, they won by 1 or 2 points, whatever it was last week, but...
South Sydney?
No, Tigers.
Yeah, I know.
But they're still West Tigers. Like, they might have grown in confidence, but they're still that team. And you know what? Kemba Marlowe's been named again.
Look at that.
I just don't understand that. Stafford Tuller's playing in the centres, though. That's a bit surprising. I thought Luke Garner played well in the centres last week, though. I didn't mind that. I don't mind him in the centres.
Who did I read reaching out? Oh, Penrith.
Yeah, trying to replace Kate. Completely
different style of play, but anyway.
Oh, I rate Garner. Like, I've rated him for a few years. Yeah. He's a good player. He's one of those players at the Tigers that if he was playing in a different club, you get a lot more plaudits. Like Alex Twal, everyone's talking about Brooks and Hayseeds. Mm. Alex Twal.
I know, you've got a man crush.
Oh, I've got a hard on for that bloke. It's not just a man crush. Fucking hell.
You want it.
Yeah, he's a wonderful player. But yeah.
I don't see how Garner's a replacement for Kikau because they're completely different in the style of play, but he is a good player.
I don't know. That's why I'd be making Liam Martin play Kikau and Garner can cover Capewell. I don't know.
I think you're
picking South in this, though, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm picking South. Should have said before, Cowboys $1.85, Titans $1.95, Broncos $1.25, Canterbury $4. In this one, West Tigers $4, South Sydney $1.25. I'm upset, but I can also see why Isaiah Tass didn't get another run. I really enjoyed watching his cameo last week, and you could see it. You can see what he's made of really quickly. It was
bounced around the systems for a few years because it was at Bulldogs for a few years and he went to Broncos and now he's at South. So he's been bouncing around for a few years.
I think it's hilarious that he couldn't crack Bulldogs or Broncos, but he got a crack at South and they're the better of the three teams over the last 2 years. But to me, it was an atmosphere win last week for the Tigers. They just fed off that crowd and the occasion. And games like that, you sometimes have to throw the form line out the window. And we've seen that in the past with things like the Anzac Day matches with Dragons and Roosters. And you see that sometimes with Queensland derbies, especially the Cowboys and Broncos.
Oh, it's its origin. Covers years. Suncorp Stadium, isn't it?
Yeah, that sort of stuff. And you throw the form books out the window. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a few people tipping West this week, but to me, it'd be more of an emotional tip rather than a logical one. And now that I've said that, they'll win. South also had a decent win of their own last week. TAFE at fullback for a second straight week. Jai Arrow having the season he's having. Damien Cook coming off a hat trick. His confidence is going to be sky high with his running game being back. Looking for another big game. By the second rowers of the Tigers, and they'll need it coming up against Keon Kolomatangi and Jai Arrow. But that should be a cracker. Leilua and Talagi on the other side. Should be a belter there. But I'm definitely going South in this one. Davey Mawale on the bench there for the Rabbits. I'm quite interested to see how he plays. And Liam Knight got 2 points in the Dally M voting last week coming off the bench and didn't end up in the sin bin. I know, a surprise to us all. So, yeah, South for me in this one. And that one is at Bank West as well. Combank as well. And this time, Tigers are the home team.
All right. Next game, Newcastle versus Para. Knights. Adam Klug returns to the 7 jersey. He was a late scratching. He done something to his MCL 2 weeks ago. So I think I think the idea is because they don't have a quality half that they are trying to push through without surgery. I don't know. There's a few stories circulating. He shifts Phoenix Crossland back to the bench and Simi Sasagi to 18th man. Hymel Hunt is edging closer to return from knee injury. Daniel Sofi listed to start, but he'd be a late tackle. I don't think that was a tactic. I don't agree with it. I wasn't a fan of that. I think you need Daniel Sofi starting, especially since Junior Paulo, Regan Campbell, Gillard are back this week. I think that needs to happen, that you need Clemmer and them to try and control that flow in the middle for the first 20. Paulo's back, pushing Oregon Kafusi to the bench. Nia Corey's out in the centres. He's replaced by Will Panasini with Hayes Perham coming onto the wing. And Mitch Rain reverts back to the reserves with Jacob Arthur coming onto the bench. I'm going Para on this one. The way Newcastle have been playing.
Not quite sure what to expect of them at this stage.
Oh, look, they have the team. They had to play, like I said the other day, they had the players on paper, but it is not cohesion. They don't have any cohesion.
Yeah.
And as I said the other day, like, I don't know how Parra are going to react to that loss to thing. They could come out excessively pissed off about losing to the Tigers. Like, I remember, well, for the last 20 years, whenever Melbourne lost a closer game where they should have won, you knew that don't, next don't, weekend. Yeah.
Don't compare Parra to
Melbourne. No, but that's what I'm saying. Don't compare anyone to Melbourne. Well, I'm just using an example. So you knew that next weekend they're going to come out and flog the shit out of a team who they're playing.
Parra is going to have a massive game. Sean Lane, because you slagged him in the last episode.
Parra, on the other hand, as Adam said, aren't Melbourne standard. But what you got to think about is everyone's comparing them to be a top team. So if they are a top team, they've got to come out and just dominate Newcastle to prove where they're at again. That's what they got to do. They got to take what happened last week personally. And it'd be interesting. Or on the other hand, they just come out and just get dominated.
My favorite.
Going to the shelf.
My favorite storyline around this comes from the Sack Report on Twitter. This is after the Parramatta West Tigers game last week. Don't know how much truth there is to this, but I actually regret not doing a bit more digging afterwards. But the headline says, breaking. Clint Gutherson reportedly threw a tantrum after tonight's loss to the West Tigers. During this meltdown, it was alleged that Gutherson called Brad Arthur an idiot. And so I retweeted it saying, this is the content I'm here for. Fuck, I hope that's true. That would be so good. And I love the first comment underneath it was a guy in a New South Wales Blues supporter jersey saying, Gutho is a legend in his own family, and that's about it. This jumped up little dog and needs to add style and class to his act before pushing to be number one. There are at least six fullbacks who would have to get injured to put Gutho into Origin colours. I was like, woohoo. So, but I love the fact
that was actually me. Just so that was me.
Arthur, you're an idiot.
Next game, you got Penrith versus Canberra.
Oh, yeah, I'm going Parramatta. I'm going Parramatta.
Yeah, I already
put we'll that. We'll see. There. I'm saying,
Canberra are traveling to Penrith.
3:10 for the Knights. All right.
Yeah. Yeah, Ivan Cleary named same 17. So full race. Jordan Rapana replaces Charles Nickel Clockstad, who moves to bench. Xavier Savage coming onto the wing. Harry Rushton is in line for an NRL debut after being included on the bench with Emre Guler joining veteran Jared Croker in the reserves. Why is Jared Croker not playing yet? Hudson Young is the 18th man with Seb Chris out of the 24-man squad this week. I think everyone's picking Penrith on this one. So let's have a look here. So they've got Hudson Young, Jared Croker, Emre Guler on the reserves.
Yeah.
Oh,
we always knew this was going to be the issue, though, because who do you push out? You've got Papali, Tarpany, Howie and Ira, Whitehead, Sutton, who was out for the first four rounds.
And to be honest, Elliot,
they got Elliot and Hawser on the bench.
I'm not the biggest fan of Tarpany up front.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah.
I'd switch him to Sutton.
I'd prefer Guler in there, to be honest, somewhere. Yeah.
Xavier Savage to play fullback or wing? After last week, Ricky Stewart saying he's not ready for the NRL, coming off the bench, mate. And now he's starting with Croker on the bench.
It's ridiculous.
And you've got James Schiller on the bench as well, who played the first couple of rounds.
Yeah. Jordan Rapana. Yeah, he has a really good attitude at fullback and has a crack.
Yeah.
But he just doesn't have that class to finish stuff off as well as a fullback.
Like, I'd say Jack Whiten and his run game, but put him at fullback and take away his passing game. That's
John Rapana. To be honest, I think he could do a lot better. I think they need to keep Rapana on the wing no matter what, because every time
that's his best position,
you lose something. And I just think having Croker there and put Savage at fullback or I don't know. Put Croker on the centers and Villemi on the wing. I think that's stronger. I don't know. I'm not happy about Ricky Stewart's responses last week and then his reaction to this team. Yeah.
For the Raiders to score points, they've got to stay away from the middle of the field because those forward packs are both massive and will cancel each other out. I think there's enough X factor in the Raiders with Hawera Naira and Starling to be able to kind of cancel out what Kikau brings and Yeo brings on the other side. But in the backs, I'd be doing everything I can to get Kotrick lined up against Staines. I know they'll be playing on opposite sides of the field. I don't care. Create a play where you're going to have Kotrick run at Staines and he's just going to run straight over the top of him or May and get Kotrick back to what he was at Canberra the first time. Use the size that he has there, the same as Crichton has used his size against opposing centres. Same with Jack White and running at Lua.
Yeah, I think Brad Schneider is about to get a lesson what an NRL halfback is.
Yeah.
He's having a crack, I'll give him that, but Jesus, he's about to get a lesson.
Second largest odds of the weekend, $1.12 to $6.50. And that's for a reason. Yes, I'm going Penrith. So that takes us to Dragons versus Roosters, traditional Anzac Day match, the first of two. So these are the two real special games. Huh? I said one of the two.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. These are two special games of the weekend on Anzac Day. It's always an occasion. Even before the match, halftime, after the match. This one's at the SCG, and it's always picture perfect. It's going to be not to be missed. So you got Dragons at $4.50, Roosters at $1.20. Dragons have got the same 17. They got the job done last week against the Knights. I don't know how well that bodes for them. For the Roosters, Momorowski comes in to replace Kevin Nagama in the centres, and Takiaho replaces Fifita on the bench. Sam Verrills is again named to start, but we could be benched for Drew Hutchinson again on game day. That means Joe Sawali keeps his position on the wing for the Roosters. Angus Crichton sneakily has been back in the starting side for the last couple of weeks after spending 3 weeks previous, I believe, coming off the bench. And if you look at the reserves for the Dragons again, you've got Fui Mayono, Sloan, Woods to a lesser extent there, with NRL experience, and Talatau Mone still on the interchange for the Dragons.
Is Jaden Sullivan in that reserve list?
24. Yeah. So, like, again, it's the Roosters continue to do it where they're still putting 40-minute performances in, but those 40-minute performances are good enough. And a couple of weeks in a row now, they've been behind at halftime and pulled it out in the second half to run a team down. St. George is definitely a team they'll be able to run down if St. George do get out to a lead. So we saw against the Knights last weekend, like end-to-end stuff at times. And for Dragons to have any crack in this one, they need to hold onto the ball and build pressure over time because I don't know how many chances the Roosters are going to provide.
Yeah.
I feel as though Sam Walker's rolling now, starting to get into form. Luke Keary has done next to nothing this year, which means he's going to get a hat-trick or set up three this weekend.
Yeah,
the biggest stage that they've played on so far.
I just don't think... it'd be interesting to see Momorowski... Was he in the... No, it'd be Manu actually up against...
Sully.
If anyone can stop someone, it would be Manu. So he's got a hell of a job in front of him.
Sawali versus Fangai, two youngsters. Tupo versus Ravalawa. Where do you reckon they're putting the high balls?
The guy can only have a 10-centimeter vertical leap. If they can restrict the movement of Ben Hunt, the Roosters, I think that was a big thing for the Dragons last week. He's putting people in space. Was the reason Dragons beat, and I rated Ben Hunt so high last week. So if they can restrict Ben Hunt and don't let him dictate so much, Roosters will go a long way in winning this game.
I mentioned before with the Tigers Rab Parramatta last week how there's occasions where you throw the form guide out the window. This is one of them. Anzac Day match is like every time they interview a St. George or a Roosters player, they talk about what it means and the occasion and the experience of being out there. And once that game starts, it doesn't matter if they're first and last, they are going to, they're just going to go for it. It's generally high intense, at high intensity, especially early on. And I'd still expect Roosters to come out on top, but they're definitely not going to have it their own way for the entire match.
Yeah. Okay, so you got on Roosters?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, next game, Melbourne versus the other Anzac game, Melbourne versus Warriors. I'm happy to have the name, despite having an ankle injury. The Bromwich brothers are back from the COVID protocols. Jesse Bromwich starting the prop, Kenny in the back row, pushing Brandon Smith and Trent Lightero to the bench with Chris Lewis and Alex McDonald dropping out. Matt Lodge returns to the Warriors. Aaron Panay goes to the bench. Taniela Otokolo drops out. Josh Curran and Sean Johnson named by Copy Knox. Josh Curran was in the wars last week. He powered through, though, finished the 80. And Jazz Tagger has been named at the reserves after finishing out a two-game suspension. Despite the what it is and Warriors being a bit of a bogey side, way Melbourne are playing, I don't think Warriors are going to be able to handle the intensity that Melbourne put out every single week. So just so you know, if you pick Storm, we're going like for like the entire week.
Yeah, I know. It disgusts me. A couple of stats here. If Papenhuyzen does play, he's going to try and continue his lead above on top of three different categories. Most points, he's on 79. Tries, he's on 8 already. And goals, he's kicked 23. The big boys up front, Asafa Solomona versus Matt Lodge will be a cracker. They're both very aggressive players and like to get their teams on the front foot. Josh Curran versus Josh King. Low-key, awesome matchup to watch. They're both very salt-of-the-earth characters, very much as grinders. Get in there, run the ball hard, tackle hard, get the job done. I'm just looking at Munster and Hughes, Johnson and Harris DeVita, and there's no prize for guessing which halves pairings started the season the stronger. So, yeah, that alone should get the Storm across the line. Reece Walsh versus Papenhuyzen will be very exciting to watch. The downside for Walsh is he just does not have the support around the dummy half role to get his team on the front foot and use attacking ball as Papenhuyzen and Munster get to enjoy off Harry Grant. So interesting how Melbourne's going to use their interchange. You've got an out-and-out dummy half in Tyrone Wishart there, as well as Brandon Smith. And then you've got a second rower / prop in Trent Lillero and then Tepai Moroa, who's been playing as prop. So
it was remember last year that massive amount of controversy about who was going to be the starting nine for Melbourne? It's kind of determined now, isn't it?
I think it was determined then, but again,
it's just
it
the blown media up going out.
Yeah.
Like the media blew it up and everyone sat there like, despite how good Brandon Smith is, Harry Grant's a genuine hooker and he's just proven that week in, week out. We'll say though, in the last probably 2 weeks, the Queensland spine has actually started playing really well. So you've got Harry Grant, Cam Munster, Cherry Evans and Ponga.
Yeah.
They've all played. Ponga might be a bit iffy, but I think Adam would say you'd be fullback for Queensland right now, wouldn't you? Would you? No?
Sure.
Okay, whatever. But Munster's been killing it. Cherry's been killing it. Grant's been killing it. So,
Holmes.
It'd be actually a really good matchup, depending on who South Wales pick it is. Gay guys. Yeah.
Holmes.
Who?
Holmes.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. That's probably centre pairing. And you got Xavier Coates and probably maybe Kyle Felt on the wing. maybe.
Sure.
I'm not sure, but yeah.
Out of all them, players, Xavier Coates is the worst player so far this season.
Yeah, but Queensland players have been playing really well for the last couple of weekends, so it's going to be an interesting Origin year.
100%. So that brings us to the end of our 8 match previews, and that brings us to our first crack of a new segment coming up right here.
It's Nick's Picks.
That is correct. New segment is called Nick Slips. Or Nick's Picks.
That's Dick Picks. Filthy.
Or whatever you want to call it, but it's Nick's Picks. Wally Wallace, how you doing, Nick, buddy?
Yeah, I think it's the first time he's actually called me Nick. So
That's weird, eh? Because I put that in
there. I think it's the first time he's been segment. On without a controversy to the Dragons.
We had a win. Actually, how good's that coming on after beating Newcastle?
There he is.
Brilliant.
There he is.
Wasn't the biggest story of the weekend. Here we are hosting a rugby league podcast, and all Wall's sending through over the weekend is his winnings from his multis and his anytime try scorers and all this. And I was thinking, well, Jared and I have won like 2 bets in a year and a half, and Wall's already outstripped that in 1 weekend. So we love having Wall on the show.
You don't say the lessons, boys.
That's true. It's what's it called? I don't know. I can't remember.
Slips.
There we go. So, to have him on every preview show, he's going to jump on, give us 3 bets, one that he's pretty confident about and a couple of values bets on either side. And then, of course, Jared and I will put forward ours. And my advice would be don't listen to ours and listen to Walt's.
A lot of pressure. It is a lot of pressure. But
oh, brilliant. Everything we say is gospel.
Yeah, exactly.
We haven't been wrong about anything.
Oh, I haven't.
Yeah, Broncos 3rd last year. That's still my favourite call.
You never let me forget that.
What about all the talk about how much he hates Gutho then picks him in his team of the year?
Oh,
did you understand the concept of that thing?
I did. I'm just giving you shit.
The episode we started with Paris sucks, that he said the week before they beat Melbourne in Melbourne. That was brilliant. But this,
yeah, come on. Whoa, get on your fucking bets, mate.
This should be a new segment.
Rip on Jared.
Rip on Jared.
You guys snuck this up on me.
All right, let's go.
We'll end up having about 20 people putting their hands up to join.
Only 20.
Should we start well on a $100 limit like we were? Just so I can do it like as a record keeping thing. Yeah, right. Cool.
Well, what are you down to? How much money? Oh, no, you've actually got some winnings in your account, don't you?
Yeah, I'm up to I'm on $170.50 and Jared's on $120.75.
Right. Okay, let me do the math here. Well, I've got to play catch up.
We're trusting our puns and the guy's like, with that math.
So I couldn't cut it down to 3.
All right.
So I've got 4 bets. Two are just straight out win bets, so it's not a multi. It's just I'm picking just pretty much 1 leg, if you want to call it that. So my not sure thing, but my one I'm very confident on is Alex Johnson for a double this week, paying $3.50. I think so. I've got a new philosophy that I've got to target things that I think are paying overs, essentially. And after watching the way Parramatta stripped that left edge a lot last week, Will Pennicini, if he could catch and if they could pass the ball to him, would have scored 4 tries. And no one strips the left edge better than South. So I like Alex Johnson for a double at $3.50. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going for back-to-back weeks here on Justin Olam for a double. $7.50 he's paying.
Would not be surprised if Justin Olam, though.
No.
Melbourne have got Warriors too.
They've got Warriors. And Roosters scored all 3 tries down the left edge last week. And the way that Melbourne were attacking, Olam looks like a man on a mission at the moment. So I cleaned up on him last week. So I'm going in on him again this week.
Did you foresee him scoring a try under the post last week?
Nah.
Doesn't care how he scored.
I looked at the how much he was paying for a hat trick when I put it on. He spent $81 for a hat trick. If I had to put that on and he knocked on over the try line, I would have probably deleted my sports bet account. Yeah. I reckon.
didn't he give one away too? Like pass it someone over who's when he's already over.
I don't think so. I don't know.
Yeah, pretty sure he had a pretty like he could have got it, but he just made sure of it by putting it over there.
All right, they're pretty solid. All right.
Yep.
Multi.
So, two multis. Yeah. So, I've gone for the Penrith Canberra game. Can't go past Taylor May to score a try at the moment. And I've got Liam Martin. I think he's scored a try every game since Nathan Cleary's come back. So, I like him running off Nathan Cleary. So, I've got Liam Martin, anytime try scorer as well, and Penrith to win. Not massive odds, but $4.50 there. And then a real roughie for the Dragons Roosters game. I've got
Zach Lomax against Tim Bid.
No, Jaden Silva, but I wouldn't win any money on it. So I've got anytime try scorers in the Dragons Roosters game, Joey Manu and Satili Tupanua, because they happen to score every game they play against us. And I'm really like Jack Bird. Jack Bird's found $6.75 to score a try. And
really?
I reckon since he's moved to 5'8", he's scored
four this year, hasn't he? Already.
Yeah, I reckon he scored three of his last four games. So
yeah.
he's just around the ball. So I like that. So that's three legs at $36.75.
Whoa.
So I'm gonna outlay 20 this week just because I've thrown this together and you know, let's make it interesting. So let's say $2 on the $36.75 roughy.
Yeah.
I'll go $7 on Alex Johnson. Actually, let's change that. $10 on Alex Johnson to score a double.
Yeah. Yeah, $8 left.
I'll go $5 on the Penrith multi.
Yeah.
And $3 on Justin Olam.
All right, there we go. I like the Manu Satili Bird multi more so than the Penrith one. And it's like to actually happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, belters. There you go, guys. There's a mixture from $3.50 winnings all the way up to $36.75. And Jared and I are still going to throw one in just for the hell of it. I've looked at three different multis, one out of the Broncos-Bulldogs game and then two in the Tigers-Rabbits game. And I think I'm going to go for one of the ones in the Tigers-Rabbits game. So Cody Walker had his best game of the season last week. And we know from previous seasons, when he gets on a roll, he stays on a roll. So I've got him to score two or more tries and Norfoluma to score a try. That's paying $19.75. If you roll it into Rabbits to win, it's $22. I'll go in the Rabbits to win as well. So it's Cody Walker to score two or more and Norfoluma to score anytime in the Rabbits to win at $22. And I'll put a tenner on that.
Okay. My multi is a free leg, Parramatta to win, but Edric Lee, Mitchell Moses, anytime try scorer. Going to put $20 on that. It's $11.50.
So I'm just going to write down $20.11.50. I didn't even hear the whole bet, was it?
Power to win.
Yeah.
Edric Lee to score and Mitchell Moses, both of them anytime try scorers.
Oh, yeah. All right.
So Edric Lee was good on the weekend.
Mm.
Yeah, he's got to get... You know, those back lines moves better because he's a really good finisher. And then he kicked to him more too.
Yeah, that's right.
They'll kick into a Tuala, but they won't kick into Lee. I'm like sitting there going, what the fuck?
Do we give Tigers any chance against South?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you go if you go Tigers to win, Cody Walker and Norfoluma, anytime try scorers, that's 20-25.
Do you know what the line is for that game?
I'd be 11.5, I think.
Don't mind that. So how's the such like they're both 11.5 at the moment.
Yeah,
look, Just because they won that week last week, are we super confident about it?
No. Nah. For me, it was an occasion win, and Saturday they were due. But South were pretty
short turnaround.
Yeah, I'll have a quick. I think it's Saturday night.
I found this one I found this one kind of funny. You had Broncos versus Bulldogs, and then Bulldogs had 12 ruled out. So I was saying, what sort of values around there? And you've got to add a fair bit together. So if you say you go Corey Oates to score anytime, Katoni Staggs to score two or more, Broncos to win 13 plus, that's a fair few things to come true. It's paying 11. And I was like, I'm not touching that.
You can't. No, you don't even want to touch that with the Broncos. It's the sort of game they'll lose.
Yeah, and I was just going, man, it's like...
Tell you what, though, if they do win, their fans are going to go nuts as if they're world beaters now. If they win that game. If they lose, it would be fucking hilarious, though.
Well, cheers, Will. 8:30.
No worries.
Good time for you. So that's Nick's slips.
You got to go for an early start, I hear, tomorrow morning.
Mate, I've got to be at work at like 6:30 in the morning, which is unreal for a council worker.
So. Oh Jesus! Yeah. Not even a road worker. He works in the fucking office.
Yeah, that's where the work gets done, mate. We don't have any shovels to lean on.
Love it. See you, mate.
See you, buddy.
Cheers, boys.
All right, so that sets you guys all up for the weekend. Don't forget to get your tips in at footytips.com.au. Six again, footy tipping competition sponsored by Hop Nation. And we'll be back at you guys after another long weekend. Enjoy your break, enjoy the footy, and good luck. See ya.
See you.
Thank you for tuning in to Six Again. Connect with the show on Twitter, Instagram, and the Six Again website. All links via the show's bio.